Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast with your hosts, Nate and Micah. We're doing this a week after the actual episode, so some things have changed.
A week after we recorded the episode.
Yeah, so...
Actually, 9 days.
I remember what we talked about. We talked about gear.
Thermal season gear, yeah. We had our buddy Brandon Calder on, and we talked about thermal season gear. We get those questions all the time. Just like what thermal do we use? What gun do we use? What ammo? So each one of us talk about our thermal season gear. We get that question all the time. We've got it a lot in the last 6 weeks since Missouri's thermal season has started. So obviously this is going to be coming out March something, 19th or 18th. And so... it's towards the end for Missouri, but, you know, most people, I would say, have a different night setup or thermal setup than they do as a day setup. They might be using the same caliber, but other things are a lot different. So we're in the same boat. I don't think any of us use the same caliber or most anything except for tripod that's the same, maybe the call. But so, yeah, that's what we talk about with our buddy Calder. This week is that. Next week, Calder's coming back down, and we're going to talk about our thermal season, kind of a thermal season recap, to be honest with you. By the time he comes down next week, the season will be damn near over. I'll give you a spoiler alert. The night we went out hunting with Calder, when we recorded the show you're about to listen to, was one of the worst nights we've had as a team.
was terrible. We'll get into it later with this. No.
Not many coyotes shot at, broken items. Just talking.
No. Shot at a lot, but we'll get into it.
Yeah,
that's true. They were shot at a lot.
That's true.
But we'll get into that.
Yeah.
It'll be a fun one, I'm sure.
Let's do sponsors real quick. And I mean real quick, because I do want to do some other housekeeping before we jump into the show. So let's start with Alps Outdoors. Use our code 2025 Woods Water for 30% off. So just changes the year to 25. Save yourself 30% on any of their gear. Huntworth Gear, really appreciate them. They've come in clutch all thermal season, especially when it was colder than, what do they call that? A witch's tit?
Yeah. I've never touched a witch's tit.
So I don't know.
I couldn't tell you how it's possible. Cold it is.
But that's the saying. So use our code MWW15 for 15% off Huntworth. Their heat boost stuff is legitimate. It's great. Reveal cameras by Tacticam. We're not using ours at the moment, but honestly, you kind of I've already like gotten the itch because it's spring, so you're starting to get like that oh gosh camera type of deal. But I still got cameras to go pick up, let alone setting any out. Habitat Works, give Dustin Williams a call anytime, 816-752-7390. He actually prefers that you call after midnight, so give him a holler then. Just kidding, yeah. Don't do that. Mention us when you call, get 15% off his services. We're going to be doing some shows with him coming up as well. Micah, take the next few. Black Ovis.
Yeah, Black Ovis. You want to use our code MWW10. Make sure you show those guys some support. Those guys are awesome. They treat us good. They treat their customers good. Just a great company to be part of. Athlon Optics. Obviously, we run a lot of Athlon gear. We talk about that in the show. I don't have any type of glass or thermal that's not Athlon, so I'm pretty pleased with it.
Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, yep. Not anymore. Used to, sure. Camo Fire, go check it out. Rotating Door Deals. They got a little bit of everything every other day, so go check them out. Am I missing any?
Finally, OnX, last one. Use our code MWW20. 20% off. Got to do it on the website. We say that every time, and we keep getting that question, so we're going to keep saying it. It's a great tool. We have used the piss out of it the last 6 weeks or so, and probably going to continue as we moved into summer coyotes, which I want to do a lot more of this year than I did last year. So sure. Planning on that. Don't really need to bullshit much. We're going to get into our show with Brandon, but I do want to do some quick housekeeping. So we haven't asked this in a while, so we're going to ask it of our listeners. If you would go and leave us a 5-star review or whatever star you prefer to leave on the Apple and the Spotify podcasts. Follow our Instagram page, our Facebook page. But most importantly, go subscribe to our YouTube channel.
Right.
We started publishing all of our podcast video on YouTube. And so just go to Missouri Woods and Water, search that, and you'll find us. And please subscribe. Help us out a lot. One of our main goals this year is to grow the YouTube side of it. We're not releasing hunts other than some small stuff, you know, some thermal videos on there. Yeah. We're going to have a lot of gear reviews as we build those. We've got some on there already and stuff like that. But, you know, that's what we're doing. Our podcast is now on YouTube. Just started doing it. Not all of our episodes are there. Our early ones aren't. I might start working on putting those there, but right now, you know, the last 6 months or so, our episodes are there, and every new episode comes out the same day our stuff comes out now. So check it out. Actually, it's every Tuesday at 4 a.m. if you want to know exactly when they drop. Say what?
You're getting up that early?
No, I scheduled it for 4 a.m., bud.
I know.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm doing. So go subscribe. See how hard I'm working? And then finally, I just want to send our condolences to the Higginsville community, a pretty, I guess, important family, you'd say, to Higginsville. The Schaefer family lost several members in a house fire last week, which might be 2 weeks by the time you hear this, and pretty close family friends to the Humfeld family, which obviously is Andy's last name. So they're actually tonight, the night we are recording this, their visitations are tonight. So... you know, just sucks when tragedy hits any community, and they've had a rough week. So just want to tell Higginsville sucks, and Schaefer family, we're sorry for your losses. And if you know them, you know, send well wishes their way, because things aren't great for that family for sure. So any other housekeeping for you, Micah?
No, I think we can get in the show with our buddy Calder.
Well, let's do it then.
All right. This is the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. Got Nate and Micah tonight. And number one draft pick of the 2020. Was that 2023 or 2024?
I don't remember that. We're going to have to do another one.
Old news.
Who's number one? Whose pick was he?
He was mine.
That's okay. Right.
Yeah, number one. We got our buddy Calder here tonight.
Our buddy Calder.
Yeah.
How are we doing tonight, bud?
Good. One of hopefully two episodes that we're kind of planning.
Right.
But we don't really know everything.
We'll see how it goes.
Tonight, our plan is, just for the listener, there'll be a intro that I'm going to do later on, but Brandon, say hi to YouTube world.
Hello.
Our plan is to do a show about night hunting, thermal hunting, our gear setups. A lot of people are always asking us what we use, thermal, gun, why. So be a good time to talk about that. Calder is in a thermal hunting aficionado.
Yeah,
he's
definitely
good at it.
It's enjoyable.
And
he's probably run through most gear
lot of people have to try out. So we're going to talk about that tonight, and then maybe next week or week after, we're going to just talk thermal hunting. Because by then, it'll be close to the end of the season for Missouri. We'll have had all the experiences. We're going hunting tonight after this.
That's right. Hopefully we get into it.
It's got a little bit windy, but I think it'll be all right. And then hopefully we'll hunt next week too. But
yeah, we'll just kind of talk about the thermal season, how it went.
Yeah. So that's what we're going to do tonight. Don't know how long this one's going to go, but it's just going to be strictly about gear. Like I said, I can't tell you how many times we get messages. I'm sure Calder gets messages and asked all the time about, hey, what's thermal are you using?
Yeah.
Why? Why'd you switch to this? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are on Facebook forums like MFK Forum and Predator Hunting Forums. I was just reading a whole thing, 98 comments today on a Pulsar problem, you know. And
About the customer service?
Customer service. Yeah, I read that today.
I saw that one.
And so, you know, if I were like someone getting into the game of thermal hunting, it'd freak me out. Are you low? Do you need to go up?
No, I don't know.
Just a little guy.
He's just like you, just tiny.
Yeah. So, you know, it'd be a good – I don't know. There's a lot of questions for a new person, especially with the thermal itself. They're not cheap.
Right.
The rifles aren't cheap. I mean, I don't know how much money is sitting over there on that rifle, your rifle that's, you know, going out. Micah's – there's a lot of money that sits on thermal guns. I would venture to guess more money on a thermal gun than any day gun.
Yeah,
definitely can be.
For sure.
If you're a person who likes to – use nice rifles that all aren't cheap.
Yeah.
You know, thermals are going to cost more.
Although they're coming down in price.
They are.
They definitely are.
They are.
The barrier to entry is getting smaller.
Yes. And you can spend $3,000+ on a day scope.
Easily.
I don't. I spend it. I mean, I get nice scopes, but, you know, I'm not spending $4,000 on a Night Force or whatever else.
I'm not that good of a shooter to where I can justify spending that much.
Right. So what do we want to start with? Do we want to start with the rifle itself?
Yeah.
The thing that goes pew-pew?
Go pew? Yeah, let's go with that.
Well, our guest always gets to go first.
Sure.
So let's talk about this year.
Okay.
What are you – do you just have one thermal gun or you got several setups?
He's probably got –
I have a couple.
What's your go-to? What's the one that if I told you you can't shoot anything else the rest of this year, what are you
– Here lately, I've really liked my 22 Creedmoor. So,
and you custom built most of your rifles.
I bought the parts. I gave it to Tim Moon down at Crescent Customs in Kansas City, and he put it together for me. It's got a 22-inch Spade composites barrel, the Aero Precision Solus Action, Trigger Tech trigger, Manners LRH stock. Pretty nice setup. And just actually went to the Rick's D DBH6 that I have on that. So.
Gotcha.
Is that their top of the line one?
The old 22 bleed more.
Yeah, I think so.
Is it? Because our buddy John Cope, he had a Ricks last year, but I don't remember which one it was.
I'm going to bring you guys back to the rifle.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, I skipped right over that.
The old 22 bleed more.
Yep.
I read that today also on the MFK page. Did you see that guy's video? The guy, a guy posted the video. He shot it with the 22 Creedmoor. And he's like, look at the all this blood.
Yeah.
Like, as the coyote was running for 85 right. yards. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, but
no penetration there, bud. I think that was shot placement. Yeah.
He probably hit behind his shoulder.
I mean, yeah, it was kind of quarter two. I remember it.
Anyway, so is that a bolt?
Yes, it is a bolt. Bolt action. I'm running a 77 grain Sierra tip Match King at about 34, 25 feet per second. So. So I've been real happy with the results on that.
Yeah. So. Nice. So you have other ones.
Yes.
What's your other gun?
I have a
two. So that's your baby right now.
Yeah.
That's one you're liking the best. Running
I started out with the 243 that was a Gibbs side charge build, carbon barrel, carbon stock and everything. Been real happy with it. Don't have any complaints with it at all. I've got the XRF on that one that I'm running. So just decided to go to the bolt action. I've not shooting so much with the bolt action, you know, with the AR. Sometimes things get a little western.
Do a little spraying.
So, yeah, but I seem to be more bullets on target with the bolt action myself. So,
I've noticed the same.
They're both accurate, but it just with the recoil and everything, it just is better to go for a bolt for me.
Yeah. Okay, and is that the only two setups you have right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when we get to the thermals, we'll talk about, you know, the XRF and all the different ones you've ran because, you know, I've ran two or three different ones now. Andy's ran two or three different brands. Mm-hmm. I guess Micah just won.
Besides just using buddies.
Yeah. So, yeah. But anyway, it's interesting to hear because I guess we'll just move to me. I'm an AR guy for nighttime. Like, as my current setup now, this is my second straight year with this gun. I'm shooting well with it, and I'm happy with it. And if you were to tell me what are you going to run at night with a thermal, it's going to be nothing but an AR for the rest of my hunting career. Mostly because if I need to do stuff quickly, I don't have to rack anything.
Right.
But first, you got to rack it.
First, I got to load it.
Make sure it's supposed to load it.
You
got to
load it the first time, which normally I do. I was trying to be quiet and quick, and I should have just pulled the thing out of the truck like I normally would. But, so I've got it's a Wilson Combat upper and lower. It's a six arc, 16-inch barrel, Black Rain Ordnance, handguard, Trigger Tech. No, it's a Timney trigger. Magpul stock. I just actually switched the butt stock out right before our last hunt. My stock was crooked. Like, it was a plastic type of stock. It was a, what was that?
Was it a Magpul?
No, it was a Luth AR.
Oh, yeah.
Which I liked.
Yeah.
But.
Just came loose.
Nothing. It was one of the ones where you could adjust the cheek weld and the thing. Right. Everything was down and in. So I'm like, I'll just go back to this. Got a Sightmark laser on it, which I like quite a bit. And then it's got a rugged razor on the end of it for a suppressor.
Okay.
Which for now will be the suppressor, or is the suppressor for my two gas guns. That'll probably change.
Is that a flow-through can?
No.
Okay.
It's a...
I would call it reduced. Like a mid-range can. Yeah. It's not a very high-end can. It's fine. I run the same one. It's okay.
Right.
It's not the quietest one. It's not the best one out there, but it's not bad.
Yeah. It's a baffle style.
Yeah, okay. Baffle.
I'm definitely going to be moving to a flow-through.
Right.
Especially with the
A little cleaner on the gas guns. Yeah,
So that's my one complaint about it, which it's a dirty gun anyway. It just gets filthy.
Yeah.
It will be better when that gas is no longer coming backwards. Yeah. But anyway, that's the gun itself. Shooting 80 grain Hornaday ELD VTs, which is a new round for Hornaday. Yep. I will say this about them. We've said this on our show. The second coyote I shot with this gun, the first time we went out hunting, the second coyote I shot with these rounds, I shot one dog, and then 20 seconds later I shot another one. Micah was with me. So he can vouch. I thought I hit the bean field in front of the dog because it made such a loud.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought I saw it splash in the field. You know, just it sounded like it hit dirt. It was so hard.
We love that sound.
And Micah says, no, that was his spine.
Yeah, I'm watching it on mine.
Yeah.
And I saw, like, its spine come apart and come out of its body. I'm like, ooh.
And I'm like, no, I think – so I put my – we put the laser on the dog, you know, after – just to know where it was because it was probably, what?
About 120.
120 yards away. So when we had to go grab the other dog while we were on the way. So we get there, and no, it jacked the dog up. Mm-hmm. And then I shot one the next weekend, and when I hit it, it just it's the hardest hitting round I've shot so far.
It hits hard.
It hits hard. And so that's what I want at night. Yep. So, you know, I'm aiming for landing gear.
Yeah.
I want to break them down right where they stand. I did have, I will say, one dog. That was the one I shot at like 30 yards frontal. Yeah. She actually dropped when I shot her. It's on our video if you guys in YouTube world want to go look at the video. It's the one that's hopping through the tall stuff.
Okay.
She finally stops, and I shoot her at like 30 yards.
Maybe 30.
She drops, spins, and actually gets up and runs like 10 yards and dies.
Huh, yeah.
But didn't love that she got up.
Right.
But it was a 20 to 30 yard shot frontal, so it went through her and did some... It was nasty. Yeah.
He blew out the ass on every one of them coyotes last time we
well,
met.
Well, one of them was an ass shot.
Well, yeah. Well, because, yeah.
It was still moving.
Sure.
We did a countdown, and my dog started walking when they started counting down.
His dog was like 50 yards, knew something was up as soon as we started.
Oh, you're talking about the other
first
dog.
One.
Yeah,
I'm talking about the one. Shot.
Yeah. I mean, he did what he had to do sort of thing.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, I was on that dog. This was on our first one. So we had a dog come in downwind of us. We're not supposed to be talking about hunting, but
we're talking about guns.
We had a dog come in downwind. It left, so I turned on a fight. Two came in. One of them stayed out, and I'm guessing that's the one that already caught our wind. The other one came in, and I was waiting to see if the other one would come in so they could get a shot. It finally spooked, so I was on the dog. The dog turned to run, and I just shot. Mm-hmm. And I thought it had turned enough where it was on its rear end. I mean, the dog died right there.
Yeah, right, yeah.
But, no, the one we were talking about later on in the night, there was a double that came in. One of them two did a countdown. My dog started walking again, and so I had to shoot a moving dog and hit it a little back and dropped him, but didn't immediately – I mean, we thought he was dead, and then about a minute later
– still good knockdown power on
it. It attempted to get up, and it got shot.
Sure.
So
– I'm intrigued by the 6-arc. I'm actually building one now, so –
I think you'll be happy.
To check it out.
I don't know how fast they're going. The chronograph the night I went to use it was dead.
I'm guessing low threes.
But, you know, that's why I was shooting the 103s out of it. Mm-hmm. That's why I dropped down to the 80s. I wanted a little more speed. Right. It's not the fastest round in the world.
See, I don't know why you don't at least go check those 55s you got.
53. There's 58s and 75s.
58s.
Mm-hmm. I will. I've got them.
The 75s that I put you on to the other.
The Druid Hills?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A long time ago.
And you still haven't shot them? No. You just got them up there chilling.
Just collecting.
I literally was going to go sight them in with my new – I was waiting for the new thermal, so I hadn't sighted it in yet, and then Hornady drops the 80s.
Yeah, which is a great round.
So then
that would be a good
– I would prefer a factory round.
Yeah.
That's just me being, you know, I don't know.
We're not – just me. We don't get Calder status yet and building our own shit.
I got too many kids.
Yeah.
And I'm chasing around. But so that's my rifle. Micah.
Howa M1500 22-250.
Very good.
I'll be honest. I forget what chassis I got on it.
Okay.
It's not the factory.
You switch your chassis.
Yeah. I switched my chassis out. It's aftermarket. Running the Hornady Super Performance 50 grains. And it's been a thumper this year. Like, so this is my first year running it at night. I was running AR before that, the 6.5 Grendel. Hated that gun.
I hated it, too.
Yeah, it was a bad one.
I watched a lot of dogs go, phew.
But everything I've shot at has just dropped.
Yeah.
Dropped dead. So
it's just a nicer, flatter shooting
than the 6.5. I mean, I don't care who you are, what they come up with. The 22-250 will be in
it's
the top.
Stable.
It'll be in the top five, if not three guns of best coyote rounds out there. So,
yeah.
But, I mean... I'm hoping to get another suppressor, probably going to go with the Huxworth. And so I'm actually looking at the 22 arc or 6 arc on building one of those just to go to an AR platform.
I would like to see the 22 arc just to see. You know. There's old Humfeld calling us right now.
Yeah.
You want me to answer it?
Nah, it's fine. We'll talk to him in a minute. Okay. Put him on the line.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast.
We can't hear.
We're recording live right now.
Put him on speaker.
Oh, okay. Hold on. We're recording right now. You done working?
I just shut the lights off in the shop.
Nice. So you're going home.
Yes. I still have to go home and gather my things. And
this stuff is awesome.
Yeah, that's what he needs. He sounds worn out. He sounds tired.
We are recording actually right now, like I said, and then we'll call you when we get out and see where you're at.
I got your black flag ready, bud.
What?
Just give me a shout when you guys are done recording, and I'll see where I'm at.
All right. See ya, man.
Yeah, dude. So
I know YouTube. I know podcast world really wanted to hear.
Right.
Conversation. Phone call, but Andy's been. We're gonna go hunting after this, and so we're trying to figure everything out. Okay. So yeah, the chassis is the only thing you've changed.
Yeah, change. I didn't.
Oh, and you put a new spring in your trigger.
No, that's my.
Okay.
That's on my Ruger, American. I haven't changed the trigger. It's fine.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, I do some stuff, but I don't get as deep in the weeds as you do.
Right.
Not yet. I'd love to, because I do like tinkering with this stuff.
It's fun.
But I just not there yet sort of thing.
Yeah. My biggest issue is triggers. So I am a straight trigger fan.
Okay. Yeah.
I like my trigger to be straight. Right. I've got, for instance, my day gun is a 6 Creedmoor.
Two-stage?
I prefer two-stage. Really? I like to squeeze a little and then know I'm done after that.
As low a pull poundage as I can get.
And what kind of poundage are you working with?
Oh, man. You guys will have to check it later. It's in ounces.
Really?
Yeah. You should shoot my gun in one of them, and really I'll shoot yours. So I don't know that my Timney is a two-stage, but I know that I can give it a little pressure and know that anything else is done.
Yeah. You better not breathe on mine, because it's going off.
Yeah, it's one of those.
It's right there.
See, those ones scare me.
It'd be like our famous video. Hair,
yeah.
That thing's got a hair trigger, man. Yeah.
They make me nervous. Yeah. Like, those hair triggers, man, and it's probably just because I'm not used to them.
Yeah.
But just the safety aspect of it.
For sure.
Know,
right.
Like, just even, like, carrying around in the truck or whatever.
Yeah. I usually try to keep my bolt open if we're in the truck with it, for sure. Just because it is so light.
So, anyway, my day gun's a 6 Creedmoor.
Okay.
I love it. It's a Springfield Armory Waypoint 2020.
Very nice.
But it's what I would call a half moon or a curved trigger. Just comes with the gun. It's a great trigger. I don't really...
Do they have trigger techs?
Pretty sure it's a trigger tech.
I think they do.
But, man, I've thought about putting a Timney in there just because I really like that straight trigger.
Well, Trigger Tech has
Trigger Tech
also,
makes one too, I'm sure. I'm just, now that my ARs all have Timneys in them. Yeah. So it's kind of like, you know how, same thing with all my rings and all my guns. I like using worn Skylines. That's what I put on all my stuff. But sometimes it just feels foreign to me. Now, it feels foreign because I do a lot more thermal hunting at this point in my life than I do day hunting.
Yeah.
Just because...
So when you have time.
We get done with the kids, we can
it's
go,
the easiest to do.
So anyway, so that's our gun setups. As you can tell from the listener that's thinking about building a thermal gun, we have three different guns that are actually four, I guess, technically. Mm-hmm. I'm probably going to have a second gun next year. It is either going to be, and I can't decide what I'm going to do, I've got a standard AR, 223 AR, that has been sitting in my gun safe without a scope on it for 3 years now. I've also got an AR-10 22-250, just a little bit heavier.
Right.
I'm probably going to have a secondary thermal set up next year. I can't decide which one of those guns is going to be the one for people to take, or maybe me if I'm gonna just feel bored. I feel like I'm going to lean towards the AR-10, the 22-250, just because I talk a lot of shit on the 223 at night.
Yeah.
I've had too many dogs run away with a 223 at night.
Right.
When was the last time you ran 223?
Gosh, I haven't ever ran a 223, to be honest with
you.
I mean, I've got one sitting in the safe there, but I feel like for, you know, practicing, you just getting rounds down range and trigger time, it's fine.
Or
I feel like
I build another six arc.
Yeah. There's just a lot better options, especially even in the AR-15 frame. I mean, the 22 arc, six arc, 22 nozzle even, which is kind of going away. But I ran that for a little while and didn't have real good luck with the 55s, dropped down to 53s, and I've had pretty good luck with that. But I like the AR-10, the 243. I like the 22 Creed. I like a little bit more smoke behind it.
22-250 is what mine is,
which
is funny. It's a smaller round than the 6 arc, but it's in an AR-10.
Yeah.
You know, it's just kind of funny how
I don't want to run an AR-10. They're just... They're big.
They're heavier.
Man. They're heavy.
Yeah.
Unless
you build it super light, you can. But,
right.
But yeah, I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. So, it gets pretty pricey when you start getting into that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
At the same time, during the day, that six Creedmoor has just been such a good performing gun that I don't see myself choosing that 22-250
over that
AR-10 over it right now.
No.
So I'm sitting there going, that AR-10 could become my secondary night gun.
Right.
And, you know, or sell it. I don't love selling guns.
Yeah.
So there's all kinds of things going through my head. But that AR, the 223, it's the first gun I ever built. I enjoyed it. It was the first night gun I ever had.
Like, I mean, that's the first AR I ever had was a 223.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's just like there's better options.
Yeah.
So as you can tell, as a listener, there's a lot of options. This is just what we run. Andy, gosh, what does he run?
He's got a 6-arc too, doesn't he?
Yeah,
but it's running. It's not his first gun.
243.
It's 243. He runs his first gun. Yeah,
that one he got from DeWeese. What was that?
Oh, that Ruger Ranch or Ruger.
That's American. Right. That little bastard. Yeah, that's right.
He loves that thing.
Yeah, it's a good shooter,
dude. Yeah, and I mean,
I feel like tiny. Once Andy puts a Huxworks on the end of his ARs, he's going to really change the way he shoots.
Yeah, and we've talked about that because him being a lefty, the gas fucks with him. Right. I get it. I wouldn't want that shit in my face.
No.
But so that's that. We'll talk about the most important thing on the gun, which would be the thermal itself. Okay. So Calder, this is new for you this year?
Yeah, this year. Yeah, I've been running about 3 weeks. So I'm running the Rick's DBH D6.
And what is the parent company? Is it Rick's?
I think it's just Rick's. Rick's, and I'm not sure if they're a subsidy of IRA or not.
That's
I'm
what
not sure.
Or is IRA? Because IRA started a second brand.
And I don't know.
Knockpicks.
Yeah. Yeah.
They started Knockpicks.
Okay.
Or whatever. And those things are sweet.
Yeah, they are. That S60 and the Ace 50R or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, like those are like
12. I still would like
12.
I would still like to try the 1280.
Yeah.
That's it.
1280. For a traditional style scope. I mean, they've got that DBH6 is it's more of like a brick style, like the Pulsar Trails and
the Ricoh and the Micro.
Yep.
The Ricohs, Which I actually that was the first thermal I had was the Ricoh or the Ricoh MK1 from IRA. So I liked that best at first, but now that I've got the traditional looking one, it doesn't bother me either.
I don't think it matters.
It doesn't. Like,
in
my
opinion.
What I will say, if anybody's looking for a thermal.
I mean, you will on your eye relief.
There we go.
Yeah.
I liked about my Ricoh compared to my Athlon Kronos, which I love the Athlon, my Ricoh had a larger screen.
Right.
So like it was just kind of easier for me to kind of look. Doesn't affect me now. I've got definitely used to the smaller screen of the traditional looking scope, but that was one thing that I liked about that block style was a little bit larger screen for you to look through. Also eats up more battery, brighter. There's negatives to it, but so it's I'm assuming a 640.
Yes it is.
LRF built in,
And ballistic calculations. And then it also has a laser inside of it that you can power on, and it has another crosshair that pops up and shows
That's
you.
That's pretty cool.
It's for recovery and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got a laser on my gun for that.
Yeah, and it's perfect because it's right where the crosshair is going to be.
So did you do your ballistics calculator and all that in there already? See, I haven't done that yet, and I'm excited.
And it's worked. I mean, like I said, I was telling you guys earlier, last weekend I shot 3 coyotes over 400 yards. And
how long did it take you? Did you just range? So apparently with the Athlon, which I don't want to get to yet, once you range it, it gives you a second
crosshair. Yeah,
that's
exactly
what it does.
This is doing. Yep.
How long does it take to do that?
I mean, it's almost instant. I mean,
boom and it shows up.
It drops a crosshair down for you for your holdovers and stuff like that. Yep.
Cool.
I think you can run a continuous mode, and whenever the range stops, then it will
for like 20 seconds or whatever.
It's got to be shorter than that.
Yeah.
And then the other way, I just tap the button and it gives me the range and it's ready to go.
So that's pretty nifty.
It is.
Yeah. So the Rick's.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to know if that's just a standalone company or where they came from. Because I just started hearing about them really this year.
I haven't done a whole lot of research on
them. I heard about that. They became popular last year.
DBH stands for Developed by Hunters. I think Dustin Williams had a lot to do with that and getting that going. I was turned on to it by
Habitat Works, Dustin Williams. Look at him into other stuff.
Different guy. Okay. And then Trent Stewart. Turn me onto that. So.
One more. There it is.
Before that, I was running a Halo XRF.
Yep.
I've had a few issues with it. Their customer service has been great. It still is unfortunate to have issues whenever your night season's only 2 months long.
In Missouri.
Yeah. Yep. And I mean, within a week, they've got it sent back to you, but still frustrating whenever you get ready to go to tournament hunt or something like that. And
we started talking about this concerning Halo. this year. I can't remember who we were talking to. I think I might have been talking to Daryl about Made in America.
Yeah.
And from what I know, at the time we were talking, there was only one company that made thermals that were made in America, and that was
Envision.
And, well, Rick's is a Texas-based company.
Okay. Texas. That doesn't mean they're made in Texas.
Developed though. And manufactured thermals.
And Envision's from the ground picture up. Is great. Yeah. Like, it's more aesthetically pleasing to look at for my eye, but they're just falling behind. You know, they kind of remind me of Trigicon. Like, they better step
and
up.
And their stuff's expensive.
It's pretty high.
A lot of people would be willing to pay more for Made in America.
Right.
However, you know, when you
clip on this year,
are they? But. Yeah, at one point in time, like, their stuff was double.
Right.
Everybody else is like, I bought an IRA MK1 Rico for $5,000.
Right.
Back when it was more, and your Envision was $9,000.
Yeah, when they first came out, they were $9,500. I think they've gotten marked down to about $7,100 now. But still, there's a lot of other scopes that have better features.
Yeah.
You know, and it's still great. But
still, it does a great job. I remember looking through that the first time.
I like it. Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I
regret.
That's
what Daryl runs, right?
Yes.
Envision.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what he's got. All right. So we'll just keep going this way. So I've got, you and I are going to be easy ones.
Yeah.
I've got a Athlon Kronos Gen 2 version, which is this year's version, 640, has an LRF built in. The only difference between the Gen 1 and the Gen 2 are the LRF being built in, and I can record audio and video just by touching a button on this
there
one.
Was, they added a different color.
And the ballistics.
Well, that they do the ballistics
and a color
thing.
Palette. I just use white hot, so I don't care.
I don't know who, like, what kind of crazy person uses anything but white hot or black.
The
hot.
White edge or the black edge. Yeah,
yeah,
I don't know.
It's odd, but
some guys do though.
Some
I see videos.
I think
of them.
Blake Garrett.
Yeah,
he runs a bunch of different colors. I'm like, dude, just knock that shit out. Dude, go to black hot or white hot.
Some people like to change it up.
I guess I don't know. I don't like it.
But And the Athlon does have the ballistics calculator as well. I haven't used it yet because I really just put that on. Okay. Actually, it was two weeks into the thermal season.
What's the battery system on that?
It's got an internal battery, and then it's also got an external battery. It's an 18650, but it's proprietary.
Okay.
Comes with two of them. We hunted that entire night in that 4-degree weather. I didn't even burn through two batteries. Wow. Never even used the internal battery on it.
Wow. We went through one external, and then
we're on our second one.
It's got automatic nuke, or you have to
automatic nuke.
Okay.
And the batteries. What's nice is it'll use that external battery. Battery dies, it just transfers, and it's also got a USB-C charger on the thing, so you can plug it into the truck if you want, or a battery pack,
or if you wanted to run a battery pack,
or if you wanted to run an external battery pack, you could do that. Really easy. So, for me, the Zoom, Andy has a complaint about it, and we'll talk about it since he's not here. Zoom is easy. So, you can either push a button to zoom on the left, or you just turn the knob.
And it
steps it up.
Okay.
I will say, I like the Zoom on the Gen 1 better than the Gen 2. Gen 2 is a little more less touchy. It takes more to get it zooming. So, it zooms less each time, I guess, is the point. I love that.
Right.
And then pushing the button is your rangefinder. Mm-hmm. Andy doesn't like it because he is a lefty.
Right.
So he has to reach across the gun because his trigger is his left hand.
Makes sense.
He has to reach across the gun to zoom. And then a lot of times when he does that, you can change your color palettes on top by turning the turret. He hits it.
Yeah,
it'll change his color palette.
Yeah,
I don't know if you watched one of our kill videos a couple weeks ago.
Showing the different colors of the sky.
That's what we're telling people. And he has to change it back, and he's just got to go through all of them. So whenever you see a video of ours that the color palette changes 50 times, I guarantee you that's Andy's video. I get that with him.
Yeah.
You know, being a lefty, it would be nice because the battery compartment's on the right side. It'd be nice to have an option to have a left and a right.
And there's nothing I can think about.
We shouldn't care about lefties that much.
No, we shouldn't.
Weirdos.
The 2% of the population. But I wonder how many percentage of the population is lefty.
I have no idea.
Anyway, so that's my thermal. And then scanner. I guess we didn't even talk about our scanners.
Okay, yeah.
We'll go back. But my scanner is an Athlon. I don't even know the name of it.
It's the Kronos.
Is it a Kronos?
It's a 400.
It's which is the highest level they offer on the scanner. It's got LRF in it as well. It's what I will say I like this about my scanner. It's a constant scan on the LRF.
Okay.
So there's a little crosshair thing on your scanner, and it's always telling you what your yardage is. What I have noticed is I don't really necessarily need LRF on the gun other than the ballistics calculator
yeah.
because I've already got it on my scanner sure. and I've already know what stuff is. You know, it's a handheld. It's a little bit larger. It looks like an old, like the original Pulsars that came out.
Mm-hmm. We've been talking to them. We're going to try to get it where we can helmet mount it.
That's great.
It'd be nice if it was a little smaller.
Right.
I had a Ricoh Micro back before I had this one, which originally was going to be a helmet mounted. Mm-hmm. That's one that you can either use it as a standalone, we call that optic,
yeah.
a scanner or a clip on. But I was using it. I was going to use it as a helmet mount scanner, and I got this at the time. Didn't really need to have two. Sold it to a good buddy, Pat.
Has he used it?
Hell, he will not sell them back to me.
Oh, of course not.
How about that?
they're good.
They're good. Terrific stuff.
Yeah.
And
IRA
so,
makes good shit, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
My previous thermal was an IRA Ricoh MK1. It was actually a 384, and you would never know it was a 384. Right. It was Daryl to this day is like, I can't believe that was a 384.
I had a buddy send me a video of a 256 that's got some kind of AI algorithm on it to where it makes it look
makes
like
it look better.
It like cleans it up.
It's
huh?
amazing. Oh, I was wow. really surprised. It was like $800.
Really?
I was just blown away. A DNT, damn. I think is who it was, maybe.
Huh.
Darn tootin'. I mean, not to go down a rabbit hole, but AI, once it gets in there and they start figuring yeah. out what they can do with it.
So how it cleans picture, the image up.
Yeah.
All right, how about you?
I'm running the Athlon Gen 1, so not much has changed there. Like I said, you mentioned all the upgrades. It's been great, man. I like it. And
yep.
the only since I got the same scanner as he does and I already have the LRF, I'm fine with the Gen 1.
Right.
The ballistics calculator, sure. It'd be
Would
nice.
Be nice, yeah.
But it's not something that
What's
I'm
What's the
like.
Base mag on those scanners?
2.6, I think.
No, the scanner's 2.5. Do not like that.
Yeah. Really.
Especially on a scanner.
Too much?
Yeah. I would like a lower base
I'd like
mag.
A 1,
right.
honestly.
Yeah.
I'd
right.
like. I want to see as much as possible.
Right. Yeah. Base mag on the thermal itself is like 2.65, yeah. which yeah. is fine on a thermal.
Sure.
Yeah. You know, I guess I'd like it to be maybe around 2, but... On a thermal, anything under 3, I'm good with. On the
right.
actual gun,
sure.
the sight itself.
Right.
But
what do you run pitcher in pitcher?
So the InVision stuff doesn't have that. The Rix does. Yeah. And
do you use it?
I do use it on there.
See, I don't.
I started to the last few times I've been out, and so I put it up there in the right corner. I noticed if I put it up in the
it like, distract
up,
you.
Yeah. If I put
yeah,
it right,
so I get
up top,
distracted.
But. Yeah, I started running that the last few times, and I've been happy with it.
So what about your scanners, your scanning setup? I know yours is totally different than what we do.
Yeah. The Nox 35 is what I'm running on a helmet. It is a little bit big. It's a 2.5 base magnification, which I like.
It's about the same as ours. Okay.
But I wanted to get that because you could run that
as a
standalone.
I'm surprised you like that with the helmet.
Yeah. I mean, it would probably be better to have like a Nox 18 or something.
Do you have an issue like when you're walking?
No. No, not
See,
too much.
Everybody I've ever talked to, which has really just been you and Daryl, honestly, on they say as you're walking, like the lower base mag, the better for your eyes.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just because
yeah.
well, it just doesn't
it's weird for you to
right.
you know, have one eye normal and then another eye's 2.5 times
right.
zoomed in.
I mean, there's a lot of times where I'll be hunting with guys that are 1X and they'll see something and they're like, well, hold up, what's that? And it's like,
you
I already
it.
Know. I already
yeah.
know what it is. It's a
That's
rabbit.
True.
You know, it's,
yeah.
it's a raccoon. It's
right.
a deer or whatever. So those are some nice things. But I wanted to get that because – if one of my other scopes goes down, I always have that as a backup to actually run on a gun and
yeah,
all that.
It's so. Clip-on or whatever. You can just throw it
it's
on.
It's a standalone.
Yeah.
It's not a clip-on, but yeah, standalone.
Oh, yeah. yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
It's just got the QD mount, but.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm running for a scanner. I think the Stride S6 would be a nice one to look at, something like that. But
well, have you paid much attention to those IRA micros since – I had mine.
I have not.
Is that? Am I even saying that right? Is it the? Was it the micro?
I believe so.
Yeah, it was a micro. Yeah,
I know IRA's done a lot. It was a 640.
Yeah, I think so.
But pretty sweet. All right, tripods.
Yeah, that's the next. I guess if you're looking at a thermal setup, obviously the most important part is a gun, and you have to have a thermal. But then after that, the tripod would be the third thing
for sure.
I mean, I guess because here's the thing, you don't have to have a scanner.
No.
It's not fun.
No, dude, it definitely sucks. Makes it a lot nicer.
It
yes.
sucks.
You're
going to
miss
so,
coyotes. You're going to miss seeing animals.
Yes. All last year, I didn't have a scanner. And, like, the times it wasn't too bad whenever I was hunting with somebody because they usually had a scanner or you had somebody covering something.
Yeah.
But when I would go out by myself,
it's no fun.
It sucks.
But
man.
It's not
running circles around your tripod.
It's not
all night.
Necessary. And, like, if you've got like the Athlon, you most of them have apps. Mm-hmm. You can actually get on the app and just scan using the app. You just use your phone. It's not ideal, but once again, you don't have to have it.
Right.
You can hunt without it.
Go
so after that, you know, most people at nighttime, they're going to be using, they're going to be standing up. I've never hunted sitting down at night.
No.
Even if it's bright out, we'll just find somewhere to get. I've always stood up, right? So you're going to want a tripod. I don't know anybody there's plenty of guys out there probably that do hunt with something else. I don't know any of them. Mm-hmm. We all use tripods.
Yeah.
So you use a...
I'm running the Fat Boy Elevate, the two section, and then I'm using the Invert 60 ball head.
Is that the one with the... so I saw this at the Western Hunter Expo that they have the...
They have a charging bowl in it.
Yeah, that is awesome.
It is.
It's a good idea. Have a what?
It's a charging bowl. Like, it actually hook up to your scope, and you can run it with a USB-C port. Yeah.
When we were...
you charged that up.
Right.
That's right. Yeah, that was when we were looking at the suppressors. What the hell were those called?
It was a funny name.
They were flow-through suppressors.
Yeah. It was like... I can't remember. Yeah, it was a funny name, though. It was a newer one, but I can't remember. But I noticed that. I was like, is that fucking charging? I'm like, man, you can just do it. So, I mean, if you're hardcore about it, you need that extra battery. That makes a lot of sense.
And that two-section seems really nice.
It's nice, and the Elevate has got inverted legs to where whenever you lift it up, it basically just drops the legs and sets them where you need them to be. So you don't have to get down there and mess with the legs. they don't cross when you're carrying them in and out of the field. That's a nice thing.
Yep.
I do have a leveling head on one of them, but it keeps coming loose on me. I'm not really a fan of the leveling head myself. I like the Invert 60. It gives me a little bit more play, a little bit more angles and stuff. So
yeah.
You never know when you're going to be on the back of a pond dam, you know, and just angles there that you can get with the Invert
60. What about, I'm assuming you have an ARCA mount?
Yeah. All my guns I have ARCA plates on.
How do you tighten down?
It's just got a lever that cams over. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So Mike and I think, are using the exact same.
Yep, we got the same one.
We have the Athlon CF29.
Yeah, it's the smaller one.
The smaller one. I like it. It's lightweight. I bet you it weighs about half of what your Fat Boy weighs.
I don't know about half, but it's definitely lighter.
I bet it's close to that.
It's like those girthy legs.
I get it.
Stability.
Stability.
That's what
However, there's things about it. This is being nitpicky.
Sure.
Because I love pretty much everything about that tripod. The only thing I've done with the tripod, the Athlon comes with a turnstile ARCA mount. Mm-hmm. I don't like it. It takes longer. So I added that. It's actually on my camera right now. So that's what I'm going to be hunting with tonight. I put that throw lever on there.
Yep.
Bought that off eBay for like $35.
Same style, yeah.
And that now I just slide my ARCA plate in and clamp it.
Yeah.
Whereas other people have to turn. I think you still have that, that knob on there.
I'm
doesn't bother him. Like, he's still using that.
Yeah.
I love a few features about it. It's got a basket. I've used that all the time. I never thought I would use it, and I use that little thing all the time.
That's really great.
You keep your snacks in there?
A lot of times I'll put my call down there.
Yeah,
there you go. Or my call remote, because we were talking about how I have a handheld scanner, so when I'm calling, stuff's dangling. And
right.
I'll put the call or the remote in there. Let's see. It's got three sections. That's one thing. I'm short enough that I need all three sections.
Right.
He doesn't. I guarantee you, he doesn't need all three.
I do like a three-section tripod in the daylight, you know, give you a little bit more versatility there, get a little bit low to the ground to start.
Which
so
at night,
for me, it's just that one, because that third section you can see is just 4 to 6 inches out.
Right.
If there were just two sections, it would just take less time for me.
Yeah.
But
it's all about efficiency at night, you know, if you're tournament hunting.
Yeah.
Sure.
Just nitpicky. Nice ball head. It's an Athlon ball head. Mm-hmm. It's always been really good for me. And, you know, it does a great job. It's got some really cool features that a lot of them do. You can, you know, unlock the legs pretty easily and go all the way out with them. The carbon's really nice. It's got wraps on the top carbon so that you don't,
freeze
cold.
Your hands. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, some nice features that they did a good job thinking about.
However, those will conduct electricity if you're crossing fences with them.
I heard that.
Yeah.
Was that from you?
No. It meant not. I don't know.
Somebody
if
told
not,
us the story.
What happened?
Somebody. The carbon conducts electricity.
Yeah, it'll zap you.
Somebody put it on an electrical fence and learned that they
we shouldn't have told Mike about it yet.
They FAFO'd. They fucked around and found out.
That's awesome. That's hilarious.
And then like we were saying, Micah uses the exact same
thing,
right?
So tripods. So tripods. The next thing would be calls.
You have everyone that's ever been made.
I have two.
I'm a collector.
Yeah.
I'm going to have a shelf with them in the background at some point. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I wouldn't have sold him my Shockwave.
Yeah.
Can I buy it back?
No.
Damn. You don't ever use it.
I literally used it the other day.
One time this year. Anyways, so let's just go through them. There's a Fox Pro X24.
Sure.
That's a, you know, we're talking about more expensive ones right now. You can buy stuff like Fox Pro Infernos. You can buy Shockwaves, which are actually not that cheap if you think about it.
Talking about expensive, you got to get that Freak.
Yeah. There's
like Burnham Brothers. Yeah.
You know, there's cheaper ones, like entry-level ones. But what I'm saying to most people here is if you get into thermal hunting and you enjoy it, you're going to buy the cheap one, and then you go, this is fun.
Yeah.
And then you're going to spend more money on an expensive one, which is exactly what most of us do.
Right.
So depending on what type of person, you're either a buy once, cry once guy, or you're one that just slowly trickles and builds your way up.
So there's the Fox Pro X24. If you're going to get one of those, I would recommend going right through MFK.
Yeah.
And getting it loaded with MFK sounds as well.
Absolutely.
If you're going to do that. So there's the Fox Pro X24. There's the Shockwave.
The X-Wave.
There's the X-Wave, which they don't produce anymore.
Okay. The new 360.
Yeah. Which is not out yet.
No.
And then there's the X48, which is coming, which is not out yet either.
I actually just got a CS24C this year. It's an older style. And just a horn speaker. But
Is that a Fox Pro?
Yeah.
I don't even know what that one was.
I remember that one.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. That one's cool. I would have been happy keeping my Shockwave and having the X24.
Yeah.
My Shockwave I like quite a bit.
Yeah.
It had some features that the X24 actually doesn't. I don't ever use them, which is Fox. What is that called?
Fox Motion.
You can run two sounds at once.
Okay.
Fox Fusion.
Fusion.
There's Fox Pitch. I also don't ever use.
Right.
I don't use those features for whatever reason, just because I don't. I just use the call.
Right.
And I don't mess with them. So there's that. There's also Lucky Duck calls. Mm-hmm. I do own a Lucky Duck. I will be honest with you. It has not been used yet this year.
Andy's a big Lucky Duck guy.
Andy likes his. I've got a Roughneck. I learned that from you.
Yeah.
And I do like it. It's just my Fox Pro's got so many calls on it, sounds on it that I like, that I've been using it this year. It fits in my pack better than the Roughneck does. And so, once again, it just goes most of the time. So, Lucky Duck does make that Roughneck's a decent one.
Yeah.
If you're going to buy a Lucky Duck, I would probably just go buy it from Rick Pallett.
Yeah.
Palette. And I always say Palette, because he's going to have it loaded with a lot of calls too, which is where that Roughneck came. So what are some other ones that you like?
I've been running the some Wildlife Tech stuff. The Icotech has some good sounds from Bustin' Fur Audio. Tony TB, they've got some good sounds.
Can't you put Tony's on Fox Pros?
I believe you can put them on anything.
Yeah, you can put them on anything.
Okay.
Yeah. Rick Palette, they're kind of... just Lucky Duck, obviously MFK is just Fox
just
Pro.
There's some that are proprietary to whoever they've got kind of a deal
that
with.
That Iotech, that one. That one's that loud motherfucker, ain't it?
That would be the Wildlife Tech one.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, and that's the one you got to punch.
It's old school.
So we went last year, and that thing is fucking loud.
It's loud.
It's loud as shit.
And hand calls, man. I mean, don't turn away from those.
I don't keep my hand calls with me, to be honest with you.
Oh, man, I do.
I don't. I need to start keeping them with me.
Yeah. We just went out the other night and set up. And I'm howled off and heard where the coyotes were. Okay, we're going to go set up this direction. Set the call out about 80 yards in front of us there with the wind blowing to us. Figured they're going to circle right to us. That group shut up, never came. Then went to turn my remote on and didn't have my remote.
Oh.
You did that.
So I used my diaphragm, MFK Howler, and... we ended up talking three coming in, and we got all three of those shots. So
nice. I need to do that. Now, the issue I have, and our fans make fun of me all the time, I can't use diaphragms.
Right.
So I got to use external reeds. And there's not as much from a predator standpoint out there as there is like elk external reeds and stuff. I have found a few.
Carver, the custom call makers, they've got some really
Fox
nice
Pro actually has a couple howlers.
Right.
Yeah.
Gosh, what is his name?
Phelps.
Real Game Calls.
Phelps has some too.
Real Game Calls. That's what I use for those wooden externals. Yeah. They have a predator one, which is technically a rabbit, but guess what? You can do with it.
Yeah.
You can howl with it. Yeah. Same, just like you can with a lot of reeds. So, right. That's what I probably ought to carry in my pocket, because that one I can control that more like you would a diaphragm. Some of those external reeds I have a harder time howling with them just because you kind of are sliding your teeth or sliding your mouth, and you can screw up.
Right.
And you can be like, ooh.
Well, coyotes sound like that sometimes, though. I mean, they're not perfect. I mean,
old Bobby.
Just let it belt, you know. Get out there and howl with it. Give it a try.
But, yeah, so those are some of the calls that you can go out and buy. I mean, you can probably spend as low as $300 on an Inferno, maybe even less than that.
Up to $2,000.
Up to, like, I'm pretty sure
And depending on how many sounds you get with the call. I mean, yeah, there's so many good sounds out there now.
You're going to eat up with sounds. You're going to want to buy a new sound. Like, MFK's got, there's a new sound that they've got out that I don't have that I want.
You
got
to be talking about the squeaky squeak.
Squeaky squeak, And I don't have that because it did not come out when I bought mine. So, you know, you can get crazy with it. But those are the sounds. Some other stuff that we like using. Drags.
Oh, yeah.
So we all use different drags. You use a different drag than I do either.
I make my own.
A buddy of mine, Austin, who is a friend of our show, made me a drag that goes across your body and then hooks up to the coyote, and I just, walk. You use...
I like Randy Webb's, the pocket drag. I mean, it fits perfectly in my basement. Pocket. It's a nice nylon strap with a steel cable. Mm-hmm. I mean, that thing is indestructible. If I could just keep Cody from losing him, then we'd be good.
Well, I've got like three of them in the basement.
Yeah.
And then you made your own out of a paracord and a...
dowel rod.
Yeah. So I just took a dowel rod, cut it where it fits in my palm, wrapped it around there or whatever, and I, just put it on there or whatnot and made it as long as I wanted. And also I made a deal too. So just
for calls,
for a call. Well, I did that for my scanner, so
that's a lanyard.
Yep. Lanyard, but I wanted it real short because I didn't want it fucking bouncing around or whatever. I can just throw it in my vest because I'm usually wearing a vest. But for my drag, I made a strap too, and I can just it's got a little like key hook, or keyhole, whatever you want to call it. Some of you put your keys, and then you can throw your dowel rod through it, and then I can just drag it like that.
There you go.
So, I mean, you can make that stuff
hands-free. Yeah. Put your gun, your tripod back to the truck, and bring your coyote with you.
Exactly. Nice and easy.
I'd like to give them a shout-out, but I actually, on my remotes and my scanner, I got one coming. There's a company called Yote Ropes. Mm-hmm. You can make your own, which Micah did, but I just spend $20 and move on with my day.
Right.
I don't know. Six and one half does the other.
I like Tinker.
Yote Ropes makes a lanyard for calls. They make a lanyard for remotes. They make a lanyard for, a little bit of everything. So I've got their deal on my remote and stuff like that. There's a dude that makes, I can't remember the name, Jason Nix, I believe is his name, off of the MFK group. He makes a remote holder for the tripod, which is the thing I showed you tonight.
Yep.
I haven't used it yet.
Yeah.
It's 3D printed, $25 shipped.
Yeah. It looks nice.
It only fits that remote.
Okay.
So, like, my Lucky Duck remote, it doesn't fit it.
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah.
Obviously no, it doesn't. I tried.
Well, now, no, I'm just saying, obviously, because they're different brands and everything. So.
But they're also pretty cheap.
Yeah.
So, what else?
I think that pretty much covers
All the gear we use while we're out.
One of my most useful things is I've got a little light on the side of my helmet, a little red glowing light, just helping you get, trip over sticks and fences, whatever.
Headlamps are important. Across.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've got a Peaks headlamp that it'll be on this hat. No, not this hat, but a different hat tonight.
I got Duracell.
And it's got the red on there.
Yeah.
And, it's kind of nice to have them.
I don't remember which brand that is, but you go through it. It's got several different settings, and it's pretty bright, on the white side and stuff. Yeah. So when you're tagging and stuff like that. So
definitely need
got plenty of light. You're going to need that at some point.
Yeah. So crossing fences, that type of style stuff. So
you still got that fence crosser?
I do. Well, we still use it.
Yeah, ain't died yet.
Not yet. Daryl was bad luck on that one, I think.
Have you impaled your testicles since then?
That was no. Everything's still good.
Yeah.
But that was a scary one.
Daryl told me that story on my ass. He's like, he said he never had a problem. And then literally go to use it 5 seconds later.
That's the way it goes, man.
I always think about it when I get up there on top of that thing. It's gosh.
Ask Micah, I'm a faller.
Yeah.
I like to fall. So I don't like stuff in my hands when I'm crossing like gates or fences. Yeah. So like most people will put our tripods over, and then I'll put like the call through the fence, and that way I don't have anything. Well, in the daytime, I went to a totally different pack setup because I didn't want my gun in my hand or anything with me. So that helped because I like falling over fences. I think me and Deweese are similar.
You
in
get
that,
caught
that
on
case.
Stuff. I mean, it happens. It just
for
happens.
Sure, but yeah, and luckily I'm low to the ground, so usually the falls aren't very long.
Big.
But so yeah, we got those, and then obviously just your gear. I mean, you know, get some warmer stuff. You're gonna get cold if it's cold out. And
yeah, it was it's breezy. I don't know if it's calmed down any, but
hopefully
definitely some wind breaking.
We talked earlier. Would you rather have 0 mile an hour wind or 15 mile an hour?
I'm at 15 for sure.
I want
if
some
I had
type
to pick
of wind. Some type of wind.
It depends 15, on the temperature, I suppose. But
tonight's gonna be decently.
It's gonna be nice.
Yeah, that Midwest tournament, man.
Dude,
four degrees. Fucking what was it? 15 mile an hour, 20 mile an hour winds.
Yeah. Currently it's 41 degrees. It's not the warmest.
No, it's right not warm, but it's not.
That'll be fine.
Four.
I did wear my Zamberlin boots this year.
How you liking them?
Loving them.
Yeah.
I really like.
Which
that.
Ones did you give him?
The ones
the
you
BOA.
Like. The what's your favorite?
Mine's the Lynx.
Yeah, that's what I gave him.
They're amazing.
Oh, you got the same one as me?
Yeah.
I can't believe he doesn't like
love
those.
Them. I like
well,
them.
It's my foot. My right foot is
gay.
I guess.
No, that's my left foot.
No, but it irritated my heel on my right foot.
That's weird.
It was just my right foot.
Dude, that's what I'll be wearing tonight.
I haven't had any problems.
They're the best damn things ever.
I really enjoy them.
Best things ever.
I'm glad it worked out for you, man.
And that BOA system, like that night when the other day we went hunting, it was really super muddy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that night, right after I played basketball, I had to drag all the way out, and I was about to die.
He was fishing so hard, he's like, please somebody drag this.
It was horrible.
I'm like, you fucking killed
through
it. You're
a muddy,
it.
Through a muddy field, dude. I had literally just got done playing basketball for almost 3 hours.
Yeah.
My legs were toasted.
Yeah.
And then I get convinced to go hunting. So anyway, you don't have to worry about your laces getting caught and getting all muddy and untying. It's just great. Yeah, if I were buying a pair of boots, I would buy the Zamberlin Lynx with the BOA system.
Been real happy with
LYNX. They are expensive, but you get what you pay for. I've had them for 5 years. My feet have still yet to get wet.
And if you don't use them for anything other than hunting, they'll last
you
a long
time. That's all I
use
them for.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
They're not work boots.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it
don't
a thousand times, but like I have, so that's all I wear. I have the tennis shoes. I have I have a few different pairs and styles, and they've lasted longer than any other.
I mean, those are 5 year type boots
for sure, yeah.
And they can actually be resold by a cobbler.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, you can get them done. So, anyways, that's kind of the gear. Like I said, our hope is to talk to Calder next week, maybe not next week for you. So just remember that as we're talking
after the hunt.
After the hunt, we're gonna be tired.
It's gonna be rough.
After this hunt, for sure. We're going to talk more strategy and,
where are the seasons
at? Our buddy Calder is a great thermal hunter, in our opinion. You know, he always seems to do good. I learned a lot from him the first time we ever went out. I remember, like, he got loud with it. Like, we used to keep it low, and then we talked.
Scream at
him. We listened to him, and then our buddy Torrey Cook is one of those, like, I don't keep
if
it under 28,
yeah,
man.
No.
Like, have you ever heard a coyote lightly howl? Any animal. Have you ever heard a rabbit start like this?
No.
They
I'm fucking dying.
Makes a great point.
Yeah,
you know?
If you listen to the Fox Pro 1 that just came out, they cover that a little bit.
Do they?
Or whatever. And actually, they mentioned that I think they were going to talk about that specifically, sounds and like volume and stuff, if I remember right.
Well, Torrey talks about that in our Hunting Coyotes with Shotguns episode we released a month or so ago. So if you want to listen to what Torrey has to say about volume. And you know what? Ever since that show, I've been keeping it at minimum 28 on my MF or my Fox Pro and on everything.
Yeah.
And I just start out 28, 30, 32.
Yeah.
I think he says he keeps between 28 and 32 almost all
the
time.
Well, he's actually tested the coyotes right beside him. He said, "Your X24 is this is the volume they need to be at to mimic
that sound.
Decibel level that they're at."
Yeah. I mean, and not to copy them, but they also said, he's like, "I've never had a coyote get spooked by the sound." He's like, he might not like the sound that you're playing.
Correct.
But and they might jump.
The volume.
But it's not.
They didn't like something else.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah,
right.
It's not the volume.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't ask him either, so it's hard to say.
Sure.
But
he's the one I would listen to.
Yeah.
Like, Torrey says that, and I'm like, yep, that's true.
So circle back around on that. You know, we're going to definitely talk strategy with Calder. Calder is, I can bet you money, killed more coyotes this year than me and Micah combined. Although I've had a good year.
We've had a good year.
I will say. But I know in one tournament you've almost killed as many as I am on this year.
I've had some help. I got some good shooters on
my
team.
You got some good shooters, yeah. For sure. We were gonna Cody, we're sorry we didn't invite you, man, but we would have had five in the truck tonight.
Yeah. It would have been rough.
Although we could have, but five's a little much.
He said he'd sit in the back. He didn't care.
Did he?
No. I always sit in the back of the truck in the bed.
I'll be honest. I didn't even.
Micah, seriously? Are you serious?
Well, I didn't even know we were talking to him. Yeah. So I didn't know how it was going to work out. I want to hunt with Cody. I like Cody.
He's a good guy.
I've hunted with him.
I bet he's a fun time.
I mean, Cody, Dylan, no, and I have Caden not. Are all great.
See, and I don't know Dylan or
I know Caden.
Those guys are shooters.
Low Caden a little
Caden, bit. Caden, buy my Christensen 223, dude. Even if it's just for the chassis. Hey, just anybody, Christensen NPR 223 for sale.
There you go.
Just reach out.
There's a Facebook page. I ain't going to mention it because I don't want it to blow up. There's a Facebook page you can post that.
Why wouldn't you want it to blow up?
Because I don't want Facebook to know about it.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah, so that's kind of the gear setup. If you have any other questions, listeners who might be wanting to get into thermal hunting.
Message caller.
Message
you
us.
You want to give your cell phone?
Yeah, just go ahead and jot it down. 816.
Message us. And if you have questions about Calder, we can always get you in contact with him, too.
Facebook Messenger. Doesn't matter.
Yep. Brandon Calder.
You should just change it to our buddy.
Our buddy Calder. Yeah. It used to be my buddy Calder.
Yeah.
Which is from Andy. And now it's our buddy Calder.
He's everybody's buddy. Yep.
And if you ever, Brandon loves doing tournaments. He's at those a lot. He's happy to talk to you.
I'm happy to talk with. A lot of times, probably guys think I'm a jerk or something, but I'm just tired, wore out from the day. You know, a lot of times we're working
sitting there
full,
being happy
full Fridays, and then going hunting all night. I mean,
that's what he did tonight.
Miserable.
Yeah.
By the time I get to check in, sometimes, but don't mean to be rude. If you have any questions, I'll try to talk to you. my sentences might not make sense at the time, but we'll try to get together.
Well, it's 8:15 as we're sitting here right now, and we're gonna go hunt some coyotes. So hope everybody enjoying the show. We're out. Brandon, thanks for coming on, man.
I appreciate the opportunity, guys.
See you, buddy.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.